We turn now to our Vents Day segment on the Jefferson Exchange, your weekly chance to vent your spleen politely on topics in the news. We'll be talking about air quality rules and releasing federal drug inmates. First, let's get some perspective from a reporting team. Jess Burns of our EarthFix unit sets up the air quality issue. At its heart, the federal EPA recently tightened the ozone pollution rules, not much in the opinion of environmentalists, from 75 parts per billion to 70. Too much in the opinion of industry. So here's Jess Burns on the perceived impacts in the Northwest.
Okay. Here's your quick chemistry lesson for the day. Helping explain here is Oregon Department of Environmental Quality's David Collier.
Ozone is a gas that's formed in the atmosphere, so it's not emitted directly from a tailpipe or a stack.
But the raw components are oxides of nitrogen, made when things are burned, and volatile organic compounds. Think the fumes you smell at the gas station.
That pollution goes up into the atmosphere, and on hot days, especially when the air is stagnant, it kind of cooks, and ozone is formed.
Atmospheric ozone is necessary for human survival. It protects us from harmful UV rays from the sun. But when ozone forms near the ground, it's a health risk. And it's better known as smog.
Have you been in Southern California?
That's John Raymond with the Washington Department of Ecology. Los Angeles is the spot many envision when they think smog. But places like Medford and Hermiston in Oregon and Enumclaw in Washington also see their share of smoggy days.
It's usually downwind from a metropolitan area where the traffic and industry is where the ozone measurements are the highest. Like in Seattle, toward Mount Rainier.
The Environmental Protection Agency lowered the threshold for how much ozone can be in the air. The new level is 70 parts per billion. While many places in the U.S. will have to figure out how to clean up, the Northwest is in pretty good shape. As of 2014, no places here were averaging greater than 65 parts per billion. Part of it is luck of geography and weather, but the other part is steps Oregon and Washington have already taken to fix air pollution problems in the past.
Next!
At the vehicle inspection station in Medford, cars and trucks work their way through the open bays.
Keep on going, my friend. Keep on going. That's good, right there.
The technician plugs a long wire into the car's onboard computer to ensure the emission system is working like it should.
We do a, you know, one-stop service here.
Jürgen Begalke manages the station.
In the beginning, we had a lot of people come in, and they put little black tape over the check engine light or did all kinds of things. They failed, of course, because there was a code in the computer, you know, and we couldn't pass them. But right now, people know before they come over here, hey, I need to get that fixed.
Still, the technicians sometimes have to break some bad news to drivers when their vehicles don't check out.
All right, so it did not pass. Probably, like you said, because the battery went dead.
Okay.
It erases all the memory in the
computer. Oh, yeah.
The vehicle inspection station is making a difference, says Begalke.
Look back 15 years, it was really bad. And that's why the program was installed, and it has cleaned up the air really nicely.
That doesn't mean the Northwest is totally in the clear. This year, wildfires are complicating the equation. Many regions, like the Puget Sound, have seen more smog because of the drifting smoke. All the more reason to keep human-caused pollution in check, says Oregon's David Collier.
When you think about the future growth of populations, growth in air pollution from all kinds of sources. And as summers get hotter and hotter, which drives more ozone formation, we want to be very mindful of being proactive, too, to help prevent problems, even if we might be sitting good today.
The EPA won't necessarily hold communities accountable for smog caused by natural events like wildfire, but the pollution is still very real for people who have to breathe the air. I'm Jess Burns reporting.
So now your opinion, please, in our Vents Day segment. Again, your chance to vent your spleen politely on topics on the news. Topic one is air quality rules. There are a few things we've been asked to do as individuals over the years to help keep the air clean. For some of us, it's that additional inspection of our cars before we can get them registered. For a number of inland valleys, it's wintertime mixes of gasoline that are designed to burn cleaner. Then on issues other than ozone, for example, there are impacts like reducing particulate pollution by reducing wood burning in the winter and the introduction of certified wood stoves. Give us a sense of how you have dealt with air quality regulations over the years, whether you feel the efforts have been worth it, and what you think of further restrictions headed for the books. Join us on this Vents Day, 800-838-3760 by phone, 800-838-3760. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org, or go to our Facebook page, and find the Vent Stay link and go ahead and make your comments under that. Our other issue on this Vent Stay is a planned release of inmates from federal prisons. There's been a discussion for years now about how many people are serving time for drug crimes that did not involve violence, and now those are the people about to be released. The Federal Justice Department will release 6,000 inmates over a four-day period starting October 30th. This follows a decision by the U.S. Sentencing Commission to reduce sentencing guidelines for some nonviolent drug crimes. The larger picture here is that politicians of both parties are talking about legislation that would reduce the penalties for some drug crimes in the future, so people would not be sent off for some of these crimes in the first place. Let's get your take. Is it the right move? If a drug crime didn't hurt anyone, is a sentence in federal prison appropriate? Does the number 6,000 scare you? Because 10,000 people get out of all prisons in a typical week in this country. Do you see this as an end to prohibition, perhaps, or a reckless throwing open of prison doors? Let's talk about how you feel about the release of nonviolent drug offenders from federal prisons at the end of this month, or air quality rules, or both. 800-838-3760 is the phone number for this Vents Day, any Vents Day. Email address jx@jeffnet.org, or find your way to our Facebook page. Yes, you do need an account. And go ahead and make your comments under Vents Day 1014. We'll look forward to taking in your comments in a minute 10. It's 8:36 on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Find us online at jeffexchange.org. Check out our Facebook page in play right now as part of our Vents Day segment, or follow us on Twitter at Jeff Exchange. And this is our Vents Day segment, your chance to vent your spleen on a couple of topics that we lay out for you. We're talking air quality rules and how they've applied to you over the years and whether you think they're working or not. And drug offender releases, which are coming from federal prisons at the end of this month. 6,000 nonviolent drug offenders to be released. Let's get your thoughts. 800-838-3760 by phone, jx@jeffnet.org by email, or make your comments on our Facebook page. First up is Dennis in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Hi. Say, I wanted to comment on the air pollution thing.
Sure, go ahead.
I'm going to kind of, we've had a Democratic debate last night, and we've had a couple of Republican debates, and I've watched them, and there actually is something that Republicans and Democrats both agree on, and that is, if we can't convince China and India to join into the thing to make our environment better, then everything else is a waste of time.
In other words, if they don't reduce emissions to try to help out global warming?
Pardon?
If they don't reduce emissions, you mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's that clear. And scientists say the same thing. Everybody knows that China and India are creating the bulk of the pollution. America has done pretty good job of cleaning up, not a job that I would like, because I think there's a lot of things we could do that are pretty easy things that wouldn't hurt anybody. But so my point is that Republicans and Democrats agree that one of the ways we're going to fix our ozone problem is if the Chinese and the Indians quit doing what they're doing. And so, and if they don't, why, we're dead anyway. So that's where I'm at on that.
All right, well, let's separate a couple things out here, though, because the fact is that even if it doesn't particularly make a difference in terms of climate change and what's collecting in the atmosphere in total, the atmosphere over our own country is cleaner, right? I mean, we don't have many days where we look like the air in Beijing.
Well, we don't know how much of that bad air is coming from some other country. I mean, the wind blows.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's true. We'll get smoky days here when we're getting smoke from forest fires in Siberia. That has happened before.
Yeah, I mean, I don't... You know, I'm a native Oregonian, and I can remember when I was a young man, I mean, even a little kid, I grew up on a ryegrass farm and truck farm, and we burnt fields in the summertime, and the air pollution wasn't too good then, but it would go away right after the field burning was done. It would go away, and I really think that the main reason we have so much pollution in Oregon now is just because there's so many more people. You know, when I was a kid living in Harrisburg, Oregon, there was, I don't know, 300 people in town.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think up there there's like 4,000 people. And when I was, Eugene, when I was a little kid, had like 15,000 people, and I don't even know how many it has now.
150 or so, I think.
Yeah, so, I mean, look at how many more people there are. And then everybody drives crummy cars, and they drive them too much. And but that's a lot of that is because of the fact that wages are terrible, and people can't really afford a good car. You know, it'd be nice. I'd love to be able. I'm not poor.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to be able to have a Prius or something. That'd be great. But I just can't afford it. I just can't justify that in my budget.
All right, so Dennis, the essence here, should we stop doing what we're doing? Should we stop working on our own rules for clean air here just because nobody else in the world, or at least the largest polluters in the world, aren't doing much?
Well, no, I don't care. I just think we need to be realistic about it. I think we need to understand that we can try and have a clean environment here, and that's fine. But we have to understand that no matter what we do, if the major polluters don't change their ways, in the end, what we did is not going to amount to anything.
Okay. You have some comments?
Because we're just one little state. I mean, look at how I'm more interested, actually, than keeping our water clean than I am the air.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
but
you know,
point out
I want them both really, really clean,
mm-hmm.
but that's more of an emphasis for me is water. So anyway.
Okay, and you had some comments on the other issue too, the drug offender releases?
Yeah, I think anybody that's in prison for marijuana should be out of prison. Marijuana, there is absolute, you know, I don't understand why it was ever illegal. I don't understand why people go to jail for using it. It's been proven now beyond any reasonable doubt that CBD part of marijuana is very, very helpful for people with all kinds of diseases and mental problems. And finally, that's legal in all 50 states. And we just need to quit putting people in jail for marijuana use.
All right, Dennis, thanks for the thoughts. Very much appreciated. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. We're not talking specifically about marijuana so much as the pending release of 6,000 federal inmates who were sentenced on nonviolent drug offenses. They have been perceived to be the ones who are the least risk to be released from prison with an eye toward future programs that would put fewer people in prison for those crimes in the first place. Also talking about air quality rules and what the air quality rules are doing for us. Are they cleaning our air? I mean, is it okay to go to the inspection station to get your car checked for smog before you go get it registered again? Are you okay with the wintertime mixes of gasoline and the other efforts that go on to keep our air clean? Let's hear from you on Vents Day, 800-838-3760 by phone, jx@jeffnet.org by email, or comment on our Facebook page. We have an email here from Joe in Talent who writes, geez, the first Democratic debate last night, presidential we should point out, the first time we've been able to see all the candidates interact and the first time we get to balance the various positions they have and how they're contrasting with the Republicans and open mic Wednesday, we get air quality and letting prisoners out of jail. Come on, wah! Next week, it'll be old news, says Joe in Talent. Well, if you feel the need to comment on the debate last night, let's hear that, too. 800-838-3760 by phone, jx@jeffnet.org by email, or make your comment on our Facebook page. Let's see. Jim in Grants Pass, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Yes, I have a question about the release of prisoners? Are you the thing permanent release or early release? Permanent release means that's they're it, they're out. Early release means they're out, but on probation and have to report to parole and probation officers.
I don't know that they're going to be free of parole or probation. But the idea being that as the federal government considers lessening some of these sentences, and there is a bill in Congress talking about this for future crimes, that this is the direction they're choosing to go.
Yeah, because there, a lot of people don't understand there is, you know, release, and then there's release with a tether tied to them. Another reason this came up so much is because the controversy in California of using prisoners to help fight the forest fires and saving the state about $80 million a year because they're only paid $2 a day for doing it. It also, in those situations, does, in many cases, kind of let the people that control them learn which ones can get along with each other, which can assume leadership roles, and, you know, without being bullying the others and stuff. It has its point, but the difference between just release and early release is something people need to consider.
All right. Thanks for that, Jim. Appreciate that. We'll go to Mike in Eagle Point. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. Drug offender releases and air quality rules, our topics.
Good morning. I heard a presentation not long ago from a police officer who was dealing with endangered children.
Mm-hmm.
She presented a case study about a young mother who is addicted to heroin, and with no other means of income, she was trading sex for heroin. And putting aside the backstory of how she got into that situation in the first place, the day came when she needed her heroin fix, and she was feeling too sick for sex. So she offered the perpetrator her 8-year-old daughter in exchange for the heroin.
Huh.
Now, I'm more concerned about the well-being of that child and interrupting the flow of drugs that makes that available and puts that mother in that situation to put the daughter at risk than I am concerned about releasing those who provided the drugs.
Okay, so what's the proper approach here?
Well, I'm not sure, but I'm not ready to see a release of those kind of dealers until we have a better solution as to how to interrupt the drug flow.
Okay, thanks for that, Mike. Appreciate that. Moving on to Kimberly in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
The first comment I wanted to make was the first caller that talked about air pollution, and I certainly see his point about, you know, what other countries do is not something that we can control.
Right.
But I also think that, you know, to quote Gandhi, we need to be the change that we wish to see in the world.
That makes sense. I mean, if you want to convince people to do things a different way, you need to do it differently yourself.
Right. We have to, you know, we are the model for what other countries can do, and we have a lot of scientific evidence behind the success of the programs that we have, so we can lead out with that.
Okay. So yeah. we should keep those programs in place, you're saying?
I think so. I mean, you only have one Earth, and you only have, you know, the air you breathe. Having it clean is very important. I do agree with clean water as well, but, you know, we should always be doing something to make sure that we're not harming our environment.
Okay, sounds good. Do you have some thoughts on the prisoners issue, too?
Yeah, I guess I just need some clarification, and they're talking about releasing 6,000 non-violent drug offenders.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, being from Grants Pass, this is an issue that's kind of close to our heart. What about theft and other types of crime? I mean, there are harm is done to people if these people are breaking into their homes or stealing things in order to support a drug habit. So what are the the qualifications of who are going to be released?
That's a good question, and I'm not seeing anything in my indication here that is. It looks like it's has a lot to do with possession of crack and powder cocaine. You know, a lot was made about the fact that crack cocaine had a much stiffer sentence than powder cocaine possession, which was seen as a racial issue. So that's part of it.
Yeah, I guess my question is, what are the correlation? And, you know, there may not be an answer to this, but what is the correlation between this drug use and other criminal activities that are not necessarily violent, but in other ways harm people?
Right. And you say this is an issue in Grants Pass because of the fact that with Josephine County, so
for
strapped
Josephine
for
County,
cash,
obviously.
Yeah, the jail turns people out.
We do not hold people that rob other people unless there's another more grievous issue. And so we have a kind of a revolving door of petty crime in our community.
All right. I can see that would be a concern. Kimberly, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange, your chance to vent your spleen politely on topics in the news. Our topics this week, releasing federal drug inmates. They're talking about releasing 6,000 of them at the end of the month, people who have committed nonviolent drug-related crimes. We're also talking about air quality rules and whether we're doing enough to keep our air clean, whether it matters much, as you've heard some of our callers say already, when we have other parts of the world still cranking out the pollutants at a high rate. Join us on the exchange with your thoughts. And yes, if you need to comment on the Democratic debate last night, let's hear those thoughts, too. We've generally tended to push presidential politics back a little bit in time, so we're not getting a full 18 months of it, but it's hard not to in America, I understand. 800-838-3760 by phone, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org, and you can comment through our Facebook page as well. So to shed some light on this whole issue with the prisoner releases, let me read you from an editorial from the Register Guard from last week in Eugene, which reads, the U.S. Sentencing Commission, which sets sentencing policies for federal crimes, reduced penalties for future drug offenders in April 2014. Pressured by criminal justice reformers, federal judges, and members of Congress, the commission later voted to make the changes retroactive. Commission officials have estimated that 46,000 federal drug offenders could eventually be released under the program. The change is part of a move towards sentencing reform that includes President Obama granting clemency to certain nonviolent drug offenders, which so far has granted early release to 89 inmates. In addition, the Justice Department has told its prosecutors to stop charging low-level nonviolent drug offenders not connected to gangs or large-scale drug dealers with offenses carrying mandatory sentences. Meanwhile, a group of senators have introduced a bipartisan criminal justice reform bill. You don't hear that often, bipartisan. Bipartisan criminal justice reform bill that would shorten mandatory minimum drug sentences that were part of the war on drugs laws passed in the 1980s and 90s. The Sentencing Commission unanimously approved the early releases and gave the Justice Department a year to put together the program. The problem it was addressing is acute. The Justice Department spends about a third of its $27 billion budget on federal prisons, which are operating nearly 40% over capacity, largely as a result of the federal crackdown on drug crimes. The Register Guard editorial goes on. A Justice Department official told the Washington Post that this year's releases will trim the average 10.5-year sentence by about 2 years. Inmates seeking early release have to petition a judge who decides whether to grant the reduced sentence. As of August, 17,446 inmates had applied for hearings, and more than three-fourths of them received sentence reductions. The Post said judges nationwide are granting about 70 reductions per week. Mary Price, general counsel for Families Against Mandatory Minimums, told the Post there's been a dramatic change in the discussion about incarceration over the past several years. She says, we've come to the realization that our punitive approach to drug crimes is not working and has produced significant injustices. What do you think? Significant injustice if you go to prison for a drug possession or drug dealing crime, if nobody got hurt in the process of committing that crime? Is that, in fact, a victimless crime? What are your thoughts? Is it time to release people at this level, 6,000 coming up at the end of this month, from federal prisons? Join us with your thoughts on the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day, or talk about air quality and what you think about the rules there. 800-838-3760 by phone. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org, or you can comment on our Facebook page. Back to the air quality stuff, I was curious to know about the kinds of things that you might have done over the years, because we heard in the Jess Burns piece that rolled us into this segment about people trying to get around the car inspection rules in certain ways, like putting black electrical tape over the idiot light that will go ahead and indicate that you do not have you know, the check engine light going on or any of the other things that would cause you to fail the test. Anything you have done? Have you gotten a certified wood stove over the years to comply with the stiffer rules over the years for wood burning? Have you changed the heat source in your house completely? Have you insulated your house? Have you done something to make sure you're burning less fuel? Because that's ultimately where all this goes. Let's get your thoughts on air controls, air pollution controls, other pollution controls for that matter, and, of course, the idea of releasing 6,000 people from federal prisons on nonviolent drug offenses. 800-838-3760, jx@jeffnet.org, or comment through our Facebook page. Back to the EPA and the ozone rules. Let's see, this is from Bloomberg View, which writes, the new limit of 70 parts per billion on ozone, which is down from 75 parts per billion, is an improvement but still provides little margin of safety for the protection of public health, particularly for sensitive subpopulations, the advisory committee wrote last year to EPA Administrator Gina McCarthy. Our policy advice is to set the level of the standard lower than 70 parts per billion within a range down to 60 parts per billion. And Bloomberg View writes, why did McCarthy disregard the EPA's own scientists? Perhaps to avoid antagonizing industry, especially manufacturers and energy producers, who spent the past year warning that tighter rules would be the costliest in U.S. history, risking millions of jobs. Those claims are deeply suspect, however. They assume that tighter standards would force many manufacturing and energy plants to close and a significant number of cars to be taken off the road. Yet smog limits shouldn't require such drastic steps. The European Union manages to limit smog to 60 parts per billion and Canada to 63 parts per billion, and their economies have yet to crumble. Gina McCarthy defended her decision on the grounds that the science on ozone danger remains uncertain, but uncertainty calls for caution to avoid public harm, an argument this administration has made persuasively to justify its aggressive greenhouse gas limits. It should have applied the same standard to clean up lung-damaging smog. What do you think? I mean, when you think about the ways in which air quality have improved over many of our lifetimes and even water quality and a lot of other ranges of things which we deal with on a regular basis, are we doing enough? I mean, we certainly hear from folks in corners of our region, like the people who live in the industrial part of Eugene, about the impacts on lower income people when you have them living near the factories where they work and the factories are putting out pollutants. Whether we're doing enough. What do you think? Let's hear from you on Vents Day, whether we're doing enough in air quality controls. 800-838-3760 is our phone number. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. And our Facebook address, Facebook, you can go to our Facebook page and register your comment there. Joe and Talent writes again, if I'm correct, the releases will include nonviolent offenders, folks caught with drugs on them but not in the commission of a crime. While crime may or may not have been committed to acquire those drugs, it's not something anyone can prove at the moment. I'm from Florida, and if you get caught with pot three times, you qualify for a lifetime sentence, unless you're the daughter of the former governor. Regardless, let them out, and let's figure out ways to help those who feel the need to commit crime or sell their kids to satisfy their addiction. Figure out ways to help those who feel that need. That's what Joe and Talent writes, which gets us back to the whole general level of how we deal with prisons and incarceration in this country. One of the major figures that comes up along with the 6,000 to be released is the fact that we have more than 2 million people behind bars in this country, which is shocking to a lot of people. 800-838-3760, jx@jeffnet.org, or on Facebook. Let's take a call from Christina in Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Wednesday. Cynthia, rather, sorry.
Hi there. Close to home, I live in Talent, and they last I heard was that asphalt factory had been denied.
Right, no land use allowance for it, so it will have to close or move.
Yeah, but it's still pumping out. It's actually pumping out even more.
I just read this morning DEQ did send a letter and said you got to cut this out by the end of the month.
By the end of the month. Oh, that is good news. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling, Cynthia. Thanks for joining us. This has been Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Thanks for taking part, and thanks for listening.